Critical Mass by James Moran. The doctor crouched underneath the console, staring at wires, while Ace tapped her foot impatiently.
I thought we were going to that ocean planet, she said.
In a little while,
said the doctor.
Coil inverter.
Ace handed him the nearest item from the toolbox. The doctor frowned.
Ace, does that look like a coil inverter?
I don't know. It looks like a tin opener wearing a bobble hat.
Well, exactly. A coil inverter looks like a round, whirly thing with legs.
How about a hammer?
That'll do.
Ace handed it over, and the doctor hammered on a circuit board until it lit up.
That's it. We can go now.
Good.
Ocean planet?
Yes. After this slight detour.
Where?
Top secret research lab in a military bunker?
Sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Won't we get arrested? Again?
Not this time. It's absolutely impossible to get in without authorization. So, when they see us walking around, they'll assume we're supposed to be there. Otherwise, how could we have got in?
I don't know what scares me more. Your crazy plans, or the fact that your crazy plans are actually starting to make sense.
The TARDIS materialised in a storage room. The Doctor and Ace stepped out.
This is the planet Talanios, specifically the continent of Kalumar. Kalumar has been at war for years with Elydia, another continent. Big old feud about nothing, the usual story. Somebody said something to someone or other, someone else got all huffy about it, blah, 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 they started a war. Normally, I'd leave them to it, but their weapons technology has come a long way. And it's starting to worry me.
You're worried, said Ace. Can't be a good sign.
And what is that?
Something was screaming. A horrible, ragged sound of pure terror. Moments later, a transparent male figure walked out of the wall and staggered towards them, still screaming. As it got closer, it started falling to pieces, completely melting into a puddle on the floor, then vanishing from sight. The doctor raised an eyebrow.
If I didn't know better, I'd say it was a ghost. But that's impossible.
What was it then?
Let's go and find out. Just let me do the talking.
That's usually what gets us into trouble.
In the corridor, nobody paid them any attention, just as the doctor had predicted. He opened doors at random until he found what looked like a briefing room, filled with a large table and several people with medals, clipboards and pained expressions.
Now,
said the doctor,
what's all this then, eh?
10 pairs of eyes stared at him. A tall, dark-haired woman stepped forward to speak.
Louise Ryan, High Commander. You must be from the Bureau.
That's right,
said the doctor cheerfully.
You've been expecting us then?
Yes. Didn't think you could get here for another hour.
We took a shortcut. What's all the trouble?
Louise called up a schematic hologram of a spherical device.
You're familiar with the implosion device?
The doctor vaguely waved his hand.
I get the general gist. Big bomb, you drop it, it goes boom.
Louise rolled her eyes.
How many times do I have to explain this to you lot? It's not a bomb. It emits a pulse that triggers an implosion in all organic material within the specified range. We launch it into the centre of their capital city and achieve approximately 80% casualties.
Ace looked at her, horrified.
Organic material? You mean people?
Yes.
And they implode?
More or less. It makes all of their cells shrink until they lose cohesion. Essentially, they melt. Slowly.
But that's horrible!
The doctor flashed Ace a warning look, then smiled at the others.
She has a pen pal in Elydia. He owes her some money.
Look, this is all very fascinating and quite horrifying, but what's the matter?
Has it stopped working?
No,
said Louise, her face grim.
We've got the opposite problem. It seems to have switched itself on.
Louise led them down the corridor.
The implosion device is due to be launched at the enemy tomorrow morning. Until then, it has been kept locked in a room with a guard on the inside. 3 hours ago, we lost contact with the guard. He just started screaming, then went quiet. Now we can't get in. The door can only be opened from the inside. The guard must have done something to the lock. 2 hours ago, our sensors detected that the device was charging itself up. When it reaches full strength in just over an hour's time, it will go off.
That's not what you want.
No. It will kill everyone in the city. There's no time to evacuate. Millions will die. The war will be over and we will have lost.
Yes, said Ace. But on the bright side, at least the war will be over. I mean, looking at it from a global point of view. Sort of thing.
Louise looked at her.
Not the sort of attitude I normally get from the Bureau.
Well, you know us Bureau types. Unpredictable.
Among other admirable qualities. Anything else we should know?
Asked the Doctor, trying to get rid of her. Just then, two ghostly figures appeared in the corridor. They had no flesh on their faces and were crying out in pain. They approached the Doctor, Ace and Louise, arms reaching out pleadingly before fading away.
Just those,
said Louise.
We've been seeing them all over the base. I'm assuming they're not actually ghosts. I don't believe in the supernatural. Shadows, transparent figures, faces, voices. It must be something to do with the device.
Must be, said the Doctor.
Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed. We'll handle it from here. You run along and deal with whatever it is you need to deal with. I admire your confidence,
said Louise.
I only hope it's warranted.
She turned and walked away.
Whew, well, said Ace. She was a ray of sunshine, wasn't she?
She's under pressure, Ace. We can forgive her for being a bit snippy. We can't forgive her, however, for being so cavalier about launching a terribly destructive device like this on innocent civilians. That will just not do.
Well, it looks like it's going to go off before it gets launched and kill everyone here instead.
Yes. And I've a good mind to just let it happen. Teach them not to meddle with things they don't fully understand.
You can't do that.
Well, obviously I'm not going to. I just said I've got a good mind to. We don't have much time before the real Bureau turn up. And they might get a bit cross that we impersonated them.
Hey, you impersonated them, not me. I just stood there and let you talk.
Yes, well, you won't make that mistake again, will you? Right, let's see what's happening.
He knocked on the door and placed his ear against it. There was silence. Then they heard the guard giggling softly.
Hello?
Called Ace.
You in there? You all right? What's going on?
It was talking to us,
whispered the voice from behind the door.
It told us things, terrible things.
Who told you?
It's going to eat you,
said the guard.
It's going to eat you all alive.
Ace made a face.
Okay, that is creepy. Who is going to eat us and why?
Said the Doctor. The guard giggled again.
You are flesh. Flesh will be eaten. That is flesh's purpose.
The Doctor looked at Ace.
You're right. That is creepy. I'm going to open the door.
Whoa, hang on, Professor. Is that sensible? He's gone mental.
Ace, Ace, Ace. When have you ever known me to be sensible?
Before she could reply, the Doctor took out his sonic screwdriver and opened the door. Inside the room, the guard was sitting in the corner, giggling to himself, rocking back and forth. He had dismantled his gun and was trying to balance the pieces on top of each other, like a child playing with building blocks. The casing of the device was open and strewn across the room. All of the circuits had been removed and stretched as far as the wires would go without actually disconnecting anything.
Hello, said the Doctor. Only me and Ace. Are you all right? We made it bigger,
said the guard.
Bigger, so nobody can take it. The doctor inspected the device, checking the circuits and following the wires around.
Is it broken?
Asked Ace, whispering.
No,
said the doctor.
It's all still in one piece. He's just loosened everything and pulled it apart. Makes it impossible to move. And I can't defuse it. It's stuck in a feedback loop, so any tampering would set it off.
We've got to stop it somehow.
I know. I'm thinking.
If it was just this planet that was affected, that would be one thing. But there's a flaw in the design. The device affects all organic material. But it thinks anything that contains carbon or hydrogen is organic.
When it detonates, it will set off a chain reaction and the entire planet will implode.
That's bad.
You think so? They've miscalculated the range as well. It's going to take out their entire solar system.
That's really, really bad.
The chain reaction will speed up as it goes, and the sudden shift in gravity fields will rip a hole in time. The ghosts are future echoes of all the people the device is going to kill. It's concentrated around the device, so this poor chap is bearing the brunt. He's got billions of dying people screaming inside his head.
The guard kept rocking and giggling and trying to balance the pieces of his gun. The doctor inspected the circuits again, thinking. Ace watched impatiently.
I could blow it up,
she suggested.
Unless you can vaporize the device completely, then you might just set it off.
Right then. I won't do that.
I don't think I can stop it charging up. I don't think I can fix this.
There must be something we can do. Plug it into the mains or something. Blow the fuses.
It doesn't have fuses. It's too sophisticated for...
Hang on. Where did you see that? What, plug it into the mains?
Oh, I had a little battery-powered radio when I was a kid. I couldn't afford a new battery, so I wired it up and plugged it into the mains. Ha, completely fried it and blew all the fuses in the house. Wasn't my best day.
Ace, you're a genius! Come on!
The doctor ran off. Ace followed, confused.
Am I? Why? What did I say?
Back in the briefing room, Louise looked at the doctor and Ace as if they had six heads.
Are you completely insane?
She asked.
Not completely, said the doctor,
but it's the only idea we've got.
And thanks to your miscalculations, once that thing charges up, it'll take out your entire solar system.
And you want me to give it more power?
Yes,
said the doctor.
Give it all the power you can. Drench it with power. Give it far, far too much.
It's waiting until it has a specific amount. So if you give it more, it'll either get confused and shut down, or overload and short circuit. With any luck.
With any luck. Do you realise what's at stake here?
And the doctor was suddenly furious, unable to hide his disgust any longer.
Yes, High Commander, I'm very aware what's at stake here. Much more aware than you and your strutting, posturing friends who designed this monstrous thing without caring one jot what happens to the victims on the other end. Innocent people with lives, hopes and dreams that would all be snuffed out because of your arrogance.
And only now that it's threatening your people too, do you realise what's at stake if it goes off? Because when it comes down to it,
High Commander, you think that only your people are real and nobody else matters, but everyone matters. Everyone! I hope that has become abundantly clear to you now that you're in the firing line. So, tell me, do you want to try to salvage some dignity from this whole sorry situation? Or would you rather just stand around and die?
There was a deathly silence as Louise took in what the doctor had said. Ace held her breath. Eventually, Louise turned to one of her scientists.
Do it,
she said.
Flood it with power. It's our only chance.
The doctor and Ace stood in the monitoring room as the scientists worked.
Shouldn't we be watching this from a safe distance?
Said Ace.
If it doesn't work, we'll melt too.
Have a little faith, Ace. This was your idea.
But I'm scared.
Don't worry. I have a feeling it'll be okay.
He winked at her and strode over to a computer terminal. Louise approached him.
We're giving it everything we can,
she said.
Not everything,
said the doctor.
You've still got lights on. Anything non-essential, shut it down. Divert the power. Everything. I'll channel the extra power from here. Hurry!
Everyone scurried around to make it happen. The lights went off, and the room was only lit by the glow of a few computer screens.
30 seconds until the device reaches full power,
said the team leader. Everyone looked terrified. Even Louise was sweating. One of the scientists was crying, trying to type with shaking hands. In the last few seconds, nobody spoke. Then, the time ran out.
No!
Shouted the doctor.
That should have worked!
Nobody knew what to say. It was over. Louise sat down heavily.
You tried your best. Thanks, anyway. How long have we got?
The doctor stared at her and then smiled.
Difficult to say, really. But as long as you don't mess around with things like this in the future, probably quite a while.
What do you mean?
It worked. I just pretended it didn't. To give you a moment of absolute despair. Remember that moment. Remember how it felt, thinking you were all going to die horribly. And if you ever think about coming up with something so dangerous again, just think back to that moment and reconsider. Because I might not be here next time. Come on, Ace.
Back in the TARDIS, the doctor started the engines.
You knew,
said Ace.
As soon as I said that thing about the radio, you knew this plan would work.
Yes. Sorry. I just thought it would be better to give them a scare. Everyone needs a good scare sometimes. Reminds us not to get cocky.
They weren't bad people, Professor. Just frightened.
I know. There's hope for them yet. We'll come back and check in a few months, just to make sure.
Good. So, plenty of time to visit that ocean planet in the meantime?
The doctor smiled at her.
Oh, yes. Kafala 6. An entire planet covered in ocean, but only 4 feet deep. Hotels on stilts, beautiful sunsets, and the freshest seafood this side of Ursa Minor.
Really? Can we go there now?
Of course. It's our next stop.
Ace, Professor.
Well, after a little detour.